This week's parsha is Parshas Shemos, and we will focus our shir today on chapter 1, pasuk number 8. The pasuk says, "Vayakom melech chadosh al Mitzrayim, a new king arose on Egypt, asher lo yada es Yosef, that did not know Yosef." Rashi brings the Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Alev Omed Alev, where the Gemara there says, "Ravu Shmuel." There's a dispute between Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar Chodosh Mamash. One says that when it says a new king arose, means literally a new king, meaning that the old king died and a new king arose. V'chad Omar Shenischachu Gzeroisov. And one says that his decrees were new, meaning that this is the same old king, but now that king chose to make new decrees, therefore it's called as it would have been a new king. The Gemara continues that Man de Omar Chodosh Mamesh, according to the opinion that says that it was literally a new king, I understand why he says that, because it's written Melech Chodosh, that a new king arose. Man de Omar Shenischachu Gzeroisov, and according to the opinion that says that it was the old king and his decrees were renewed. What is compelling him to take the meaning of new king out of the normal meaning? He answers, the loiksiv vayamos vayimloich, because nowhere it's written that the old king died. Since it's not mentioned that the king died, then we must be talking about the same old paroi. If it's the same old paroi, why is it written chadosh? We have to say that the reason that it's written chadosh, meaning that his decrees changed, and now he has new harsh decrees on the Jewish people. The Gemara continues to analyze the pasuk and goes to the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Asher lo yada es Yosef," that he did not know Yosef, meaning that this new king did not know Yosef. The Gemara says, "Davedame keman de lo yada leklal," that he seemed like he didn't know Yosef at all, meaning that he acted like he didn't know Yosef. The Mizrahi explains that this interpretation of the Gemara goes according to the opinion that says that this is the same original Pharaoh that made new decrees. How can you say that if the pasuk clearly says that a new king arose that didn't know Yosef and that king definitely knew Yosef? Therefore, the Gemara answers that he acted like he didn't know Yosef. Sefer Etz Yosef, which is an interpretation on the Ayun Yaakov, explains that this interpretation could go even according to the opinion that it was a new king. Since the whole world knew about Yosef because the whole world had problems with the famine, then how is it possible that a new king, literally new king, should rise over Egypt that doesn't know Yosef? Therefore, the Etz Yosef says that that is what the Gemara is answering, that he acted like he didn't know Yosef. He knew the story of Yosef, but he acted like he didn't know because he wanted to give harsh decrees. That's why he decided to ignore the fact that Yosef existed. According to the Etz Yosef, the answer of the Gemara applies equally to both interpretations. Even though the Gemara says that the reason that the person holds that this is the same old king and doesn't want to say that this is a new king is because it's not written that the old king died, Mefarshim ask on the Gemara, why does the Gemara expect us to list that the king died and now a king arose? We are not dealing with the history of Egypt. Oh, it's important it is for us, then what question is it that it is not written that the old king died? The Torah is not a history lesson on Egypt. The Torah is telling us pertinent things regarding the Jewish people. Mefarshim answer that the language of the pasuk is hinting to us that we should not take this chadosh, this word new, literally, that it is not literal a new king, meaning that the Torah should have just written down Vayimloich Melech al Mitzrayim, Asher lo yada es Yosef, a king reigned on Egypt that didn't know Yosef. And if you wrote a king reigned over Egypt, I would know that this is a new king. Why does the Torah have to write down Melech Chadosh, a new king? And also, why does the Torah use the word Vayakom, that he rose, and doesn't write the word Vayimloich, and he reigned? From those facts that is written the word Vayakom, that he rose and not that he reigned, and it's also added the word Chadosh, the word new, that opinion learned, the Torah is hinting to us that we should not understand that a new king literally reigned over Egypt, just the old king arose with new harsh decrees. To understand, according to the opinion, that this was a new king, why doesn't it say that the old king died, as the Gemara asks? Also, why does it say Vayakom and arose a king? Why also write down Chadosh, anu? Why can't you just say Vayakom Melech al Mitzrayim and a king arose over Egypt? Sefer Rechoves Anor answers based on the Even Ezra. The Even Ezra adds a point of Melech Chadosh. He adds Sheloi Oyo Mezera Hamelucha, that he wasn't from the line to be king, meaning that he wasn't from royal blood. And also the Zohar, Dav Zayin Omed Aleph, says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, what does it mean, Vayakom Melech Chadosh al Mitzrayim? The Zohar brings that he got up by himself, meaning that he wasn't fit to be king, but he imposed himself over the people. And the Zohar continues and says that man that have a shuffle, that person that was lowly, meaning that he was in a low position, come, was able to rise and become king. And the Zohar says explicitly, Velo ischaze lemalka, and he wasn't fit to be king. Uve usra come, and because of his wealth, he was able to become king. Meaning that this person wasn't really worthy to be king, and because he had wealth, he was able to convince and get other people to his side, and he was able to become king. Sefer Rechoves HaNor explains that this wealthy person was able to tap in to the dissatisfaction and anger that the people had against the old king, meaning that here we have a kingdom who is ruled by Paroi. Paroi has dreams one night, and he can't interpret, and he calls a stranger Yosef. Yosef interprets that it's going to be 7 fat years of plenty, and then 7 skinny years of famine. And he takes from our money, and he stores our wheat during the 7 good years. And then, when it comes the skinny years, when it comes the famine years, and we ask him for food, instead of doing like normal king does, that he feeds his population and he helps out his population when his population is in trouble, this king gives total control to this stranger Yosef. And this stranger, before we do anything, he requires us to circumcise, something that it's cruel, sadistic thing that we have to do to our bodies. And after that, when we ask him for food, he asks us to sell our cattle. And after, he asks us to sell our land. And if that is not enough, he actually enslaves us, that we are called slaves to Paroi. And not only that, in order to degrade us even further, he doesn't even let us stay in our home. He takes us from one corner of Egypt to the other corner of Egypt in order for us not to be comfortable. And Paroi is right by his side and stays quiet, even though he is blaming it on Yosef. We all know that really Paroi is the king and he is in control, and Paroi is the only one gaining, and he is taking advantage of this situation, and he, instead of being good to his people, is enslaving his people to his own gain, that he is doing anything possible to gain as much money as he can and enslave his own people. After the people were enraged against Paroi, this wealthy person promised them that if they help him with a rebellion against Paroi and he becomes king, he is going to undo everything that Yosef did, meaning that he is going to declare all the sales that was done to Paroi void, because since it was done under duress, he is going to void them. Also, he is going to free all the people that they are not considered slaves anymore, and he is going to put all the people back in their originally homeland. They'll be able to enjoy their family plots as it was before Paroi bought those plots and before Yosef exiled them. And also, he is going to declare that nobody in Egypt is required to circumcise anymore, that he's going to invalidate the decree of circumcision also. After listening to this wealthy person's argument and also thinking about their self-interest, a lot of the population agreed with that person, and ministers and advisors of Paroi decided to join this wealthy person in rebelling and leading a mutiny against Paroi. This person was able to overthrow Paroi and he became king. Therefore, the Pasuk doesn't say that the old Paroi died, because the old Paroi did not die, because he was still alive, he was just overthrown. Therefore, it's also not written Vayimloich Melech al Mitzrayim, that a king reigned over Egypt, because this person had no right to reign over Egypt. Therefore, it's written Vayakom, that he arose, meaning that he took Egypt with strength, that he overthrew the old king. And that's why it's read Melech Chadosh, a new king, meaning that he wasn't from the royal line, that he wasn't from the old line of kings of Egypt. It is a new line now of kings, because this person had no royal blood. And how was he able to overthrow the old king? Because Asher lo yada es Yosef, because he acted as he wouldn't know Yosef, meaning that he says that he is not going to follow what Yosef decreed. He is not going to keep Yosef's decrees. And according to this, it's even better the Targum Unculus, because Targum Unculus on the words Asher lo yada es Yosef, that he didn't know Yosef, translates the lo mekayem gzeiras Yosef, that he doesn't keep the decrees of Yosef, meaning exactly as the Rehoboth HaNoar says, that he decided that he is going to invalidate all the sales done by Yosef, meaning that everybody regains his land since the sales were done under duress. He restores the people to their home city, and he also stops the circumcision. But this king, since he knows that he is not the legitimate king, and since he is always afraid that people are going to overthrow him, this king also knows that there is a very ingrained Jewish trait of Hakara Satov, of recognizing when somebody does good to you. And since the old Paroi was good to the Jews, because he let Yosef support the Jewish people and give them the best land of Goshen and also retain ownership of the land of Goshen, this new king is afraid that since the Jewish people are multiplying in such numbers, eventually the Jewish people are going to be too numerous and the Jewish people are going to join his enemies, meaning the old king, and the old king will come and overthrow this king. meaning the legitimate king of Egypt now is going to come and overthrow this wealthy person who became king illegitimately. Therefore, this new king says that Am Yisrael Rav Otzum Imenu, that the Jewish people are multiplying so quickly, let's outsmart them. Let's find a way that we should minimize their numbers, because if it's going to be a war, meaning if the Jewish people are going to join the old king, the legitimate king, then will be a war. And if there's a war and they win the war because they are so numerous, then you know what our end is going to be. Our group, which took over, which overthrew the other government, if we lose to the previous king, you know for sure that the previous king is going to kill us all. Therefore, we have no choice. We are required to lower the number of Jews to make sure that they don't gain a majority, they don't become too numerous. And the Parsha continues telling what the plot was. The Marsha in the Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Alef on the Machloikas, if it was a new king or an old king that made new decrees, brings a third opinion, which is found in Shmos Rabbe, Parsha Aleph, Simen Ches, where there it says that this is the old king, but not just that he had new decrees, that he actually was deposed and he became king again. Meaning, Vayakom, he arose again, Melech Chodosh, a king with new ideas. And the Medrash explains that the Egyptians came to Paroi and said that let us start against the Jewish people, meaning let us enslave and try to exterminate them. Paroi would not hear of it, and Paroi actually answers, you are fools. The whole reason we survived until now is only because of the Jewish people, that if not for Yosef, we would all have been dead by now. When the people realize that Paroi does not listen to them, he won't hear of any arguments to do harm to the Jewish people, the people decided to depose Paroi. After 3 months of Paroi being deposed, Paroi decided that the Jewish people are not worth being deposed. Paroi agreed with the Egyptians, and Paroi regained his throne. And now Paroi is making harsh decrees on the Jews. According to this, when the Pasuk says Vayakom Melech Chodosh, that a new king arose over Egypt, it really means that he rose up again and now he became as a new king. Because since he was deposed for 3 months, he lost the kingdom for 3 months. Now that he rose again to be a king, it listed as he was a new king. And because he was a new king, he made new decrees and he acted as he didn't know Yosef. If not for the Maharsha, that the Maharsha clearly cites that this is a third opinion and he has real basis for it, because the Medrash previously brings the opinion of Rav and Shmuel, and then it adds the Rabbanon and the rabbis say this opinion, it seems like it is a third opinion. But if out the Maharsha clearly listing it's a third opinion, I would have thought that that could be the opinion of the person that says that this is the old king and he made new decrees, meaning that the Medrash is explaining to you how it came about that the king had a change of heart. Why all of a sudden he decided to make new decrees on the Jewish people? And that could be what the Medrash is explaining, that since they deposed them, he felt like he had no choice and he had to please the people in order to regain his throne. Therefore, he did harsh decrees on the Jews. Sefer Lekach Tov learns a very important lesson from this Medrash. He explains like that. Paroi was told to do harm to the Jewish people. Paroi knew that the Jewish people did only good to him and they survived only because of the Jewish people. Paroi didn't want to harm them. But when Paroi saw that his job is at stake, then Paro did not care anymore about the Jewish people. All he cared is about his job of being king, and he was willing to do anything in order to maintain his job. And because he did that, not only did he cause the downfall of the Egyptian people, he also caused the downfall of his own family, and he lost his own position. So too, a person has to know when he's faced with maintaining his job at the detriment of other people, that a person has to be very careful not to cause harm to other people, because if you do that, it may be that you won't be able to keep your job. The same way that Paroi agreed to harm other people in order to keep his job as king, and because he did that, he was destroyed and his country was destroyed. You too, if you do harm to other people in order to keep your job may be obsolete, and the place you work in, the parnasa you get from, may also be obsolete. Sefer Imre Yesh explains that when the Pasuk says that a new king arose on Egypt that didn't know Yosef, it doesn't mean literally that he didn't know the story of Yosef. It means that he really didn't know what happened to Yosef. Because had he known what happened to Yosef, he wouldn't have tried to harm the Jew. Because in the story of Yosef, the brothers tried to harm him. The brothers sell him and tried to do harm to Yosef. Nonetheless, Hashem protected Yosef. And Hashem made it that Yosef will be king and he will support the whole nation. So too, had this Paroi known that the outcome of trying to harm the Jew will cause Hashem to help him out and they become richer and greater, then Paroi would have not have tried. So Paroi only tried to harm the Jews because Shelo Yada es Yosef, he did not know Yosef. Another interpretation of the Sefer Imre Yesh, it's the same idea, but it means that he didn't know the hidden potential that every Jew has, which is like Yosef. And he brings the Pasuk in Ovadia, chapter 1, Pasuk 18, where it's brought by Rashi previously, on chapter 37 on Bereishis, Pasuk number 1, V'hayu beis Yaakov eish, that the house of Yaakov is going to be fire, uveis Yosef lehava, and the house of Yosef a flame, uveis Esav lekash, and the house of Esav is going to be straw, that nitzutz Yosef meYosef, a spark goes out of Yosef and burns out everybody else. Had the king of Egypt, Paroi, known that every Jew has a Yosef inside, that every Jew has a potential, has a spark that is able to destroy all of Egypt, then he wouldn't have started up with the Jews. I wanted to use this Imre Yesh, which the Imre Yesh translates as Shelo Yada es Yosef, did not know the potential of Yosef, or did not know the story of Yosef. I wanted to add that it maybe means to say that Paroi did not understand the holiness of Yosef. He didn't know how pure Yosef is. Meaning that one of the reasons that Yosef, when he became a viceroy, told the Egyptians to circumcise is because the Gemara in Soiter writes down that a woman who is brazen in immorality causes parnasa to be lacking. In other words, causes bread to be lacking in the house. And since Yosef wanted to make sure that the Egyptians have enough merits to survive the famine, Yosef told all the Egyptians to circumcise, because by them doing circumcision, they'll be able to curb their desires. And if they could curb their desires, then they could curb the sin of immorality of doing illegal things. And if they curb the sin of doing illegal things, then they merit to have bread. They don't deserve to be lacking bread. Targum Unculus here explains that Paroi canceled the decrees of Yosef, meaning that Paroi canceled also the decree of Bris Milah that the Egyptians don't have to do circumcision anymore. And Paroi hoped that if the Egyptians don't do circumcision, the Jews won't do circumcision either, as it eventually happened that the Jews did not circumcise in Egypt. Only right before they leave Egypt, they are required to circumcise, but in Egypt during the years that they were enslaved, they did not circumcise because they emulated the Egyptians. And if you do not circumcise, then you have greater desires. If you have greater desires, then you have a bigger chance to become immoral. And Paroi thought that I have a chance to make sure that the Jewish people were eternally enslaved in Egypt by causing them to become immoral. If I cause them to become immoral, I spiritually corrupt them, then I'm able to make that they shouldn't leave Egypt ever. And Paroi's plan was actually working, meaning that the Jewish people saw that the Egyptians did not circumcise. They themselves didn't circumcise either. But fortunately for the Jewish people did not become immoral. Why didn't they become immoral? Because Paroi did not know Yosef, that Yosef's influence caused us not to become immoral. Meaning, the Medrash Rabbe on Vayikra, Parsha Lamed Beis, says, Ravuna b'shem Rav Chiya bar Abba. Ravuna says in the name of Rav Chiya bar Abba, Sora Imenu Yordel Mitzrayim, Sora Imenu came down to Egypt, meaning when Paroi originally took Sara to Egypt, he wanted to commit immorality with her, the god of Atzam Inu Erva, but she was able to control herself, she did not have relations with Paroi. In her merit, V'nigderu ka'anoshim b'schusa, all the women in Egypt did not commit immorality in the merit of Sora Imenu. The Medrash continues, Yosef Yorad Mitzrayim, Yosef came down to Egypt, the god Atzma Minu Erva, and he girded himself, he kept himself from immorality in the story of Eshes Potiphar, where the wife of Potiphar tried to solicit him to commit adultery, and he was able to control himself and not do it. V'negderu Yisrael b'schuso, and the Jewish people were able to sustain and not do immorality in Egypt in the merit of Yosef. Meaning that Sara Imenu cleared up the spiritual environment that the women are able to withstand that test of immorality, and Yosef HaTzadik was able to curb himself in immorality, and he was able to cleanse that environment for the men, that all the men are able to withstand immorality because Yosef was able, through his Mesiras Nefesh, through his self-sacrifice to curb himself immorality, he was able to make it that all the Jews are protected from immorality. Then even though the Jewish people did not do Brit Milah and they are more susceptible for immorality, but because of merit of Yosef, that Yosef curbed himself from immorality, that helped out all the Jews to curb themselves from immorality. According to this, I could say that when it means to say Ashelo Yada es Yosef, that Paroi didn't know Yosef, meaning that Paroi wanted to cancel the decrees of circumcision, as the Targum Unculus says, that he canceled the decrees of Yosef, but he thought that he's going to be able to cause the Jewish people to be immoral, but he didn't know Yosef. He didn't know that Yosef's influence helped to save the Jewish people, that the Jewish people were not immoral, and they actually were redeemed because of that. And according to this interpretation, we could answer a Medrash Rabbe Pelia, a perplexing Medrash Rabbe, which is on Tehillim, chapter 114, the Hallel that we say. We say, Hayom Ra Vayanois, the sea saw and fled and ran away. The Medrash asks a question, what caused the sea to flee, to run away? What did the sea see that caused them to run away? The Medrash answers, Aroinoi shel Yosef Ra, that the sea saw the coffin of Yosef, which by Yosef is written on Bereshis, chapter 39, Pasuk number 12, when Eshes Potiphar was enticing him. It's written, Vayonos Vayetze Achutza, he fled and ran outside. As soon as he saw the coffin of Yosef, that Yosef ran away, that caused the sea to run away. This is a perplexing medrash, because the medrash is making a clear connection, the sea running away, to Yosef running away, meaning that the sea would not run away, meaning that the sea would not split, had it not seen the coffin of Yosef. But now that the sea saw the coffin of Yosef, which by Yosef is written that he ran away, the sea decided to do the same thing, to run away. Mefarshim are bothered to see the connection between them. According to what we mentioned, we could easily explain the Medrash, meaning that the sea knew that the Jewish people were in Egypt for so long, and the sea knew that they are in a place that's full of immorality, and the sea assumed that since the Jewish people are there, they are immoral, and they don't have any merits to be redeemed. Therefore, the sea did not want to split. But as soon as the sea saw the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik, that Yosef HaTzadik was able to control himself, and Yosef HaTzadik, by his self-sacrifice, curbed himself from immorality, and because Yosef HaTzadik curbed himself from immorality, then it is possible that the Jewish people will curb themselves from immorality, then the sea realized that the Jewish people may have merits to be redeemed because Yosef HaTzadik curbed himself from immorality. Therefore, the Jewish people, even though they were so long in Egypt, they were able to curb themselves from immorality in the schus, in the merit of Yosef HaTzadik. Therefore, the sea decided to split. Sefer Pardas Yosef brings the Gemara in Soite, Daf Yud Gimel Omed Beis, in the bottom line, going to Yudalet Omed Aleph, 14a, where the Gemara there is discussing the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there he brings the Pasuk in Dvarim, chapter 34, Pasuk number 6, where it says, Vayikber Oiso Bagai, that they buried Moshe Rabbeinu in Gai, Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav, Mul Beis Peor, opposite the idolatry of Peor, Ve'yada Ishes Kvirasoi, and nobody knew his burial ground, Ada Yom Hazeh, until this day, meaning that nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. The Gemara relates that even though the Pasuk clearly says that nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, the Romans nonetheless tried to find out where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. The Gemara says that the Romans sent to the governor of the region of Peor to show to them where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. He didn't know, so they went searching for the burial grounds of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says that they went up, and it seems that it was down, meaning, according to the simple interpretation, then they went up a mountain searching for the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw that it was actually in a valley. They decided to search down, and it seemed to them that it was up, meaning that they decided to search in a valley, and it seemed to them that it was up a mountain. They decided to split the group. Half of them is going to go up, and half of them is going to go down. Like that, they thought for sure they'll be able to find the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Gemara says that those who went down, it seemed to them that the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu was up, and those who went up, it seemed to them that the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu was down, meaning that they couldn't find the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though they tried and they split the group, half went up and half went down. The Pardas Yosef explains that this Gemara is not to be taken literally, meaning that they actually did not go up a mountain and down a valley, that they weren't searching for the physical burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were searching for the spiritual burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, we know Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah. As a matter of fact, when the Gemara wants to praise a Talmud Chacham, a wise rabbi, the Gemara says, Moshe, Yafe Komres, Moshe, you are saying well. We see that any wise person that learns Torah gets the honor name of Moshe. And the nations of the world who hate us know that as long as we have Torah, we are indestructible and we are always going to continue. And the Romans in particular were very involved in trying to destroy the Jewish people, but they couldn't figure out exactly the formula how to destroy the Jewish people. They knew that the only way they could destroy the Jewish people is by taking their Torah out of them, but they didn't know exactly how to go about doing it. Therefore, they were looking for the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, which doesn't mean literally the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. They were trying to figure out, how do I make the Jewish people bury their Torah, bury their Moshe Rabbeinu, that they don't learn Torah anymore? And if we get them not to learn Torah, then the Romans knew that they'll be able to exterminate and destroy the Jewish people. In addition, the Romans also understood that there is two easy ways, they thought, to cause the Jewish people to stop learning Torah. One easy way is to emancipate them, meaning that you give them all the rights that they have, you make them equal to non-Jews, you allow them to spread all over the Roman Empire. Like that, the Jewish people will have more contact, they'll be more involved with the non-Jew, and the more contact and more involvement he has with a non-Jew, then the Jewish person is going to leave his Torah, he's going to assimilate into the non-Jewish culture. Like that, he will forget his Torah. And once he forgets his Torah, we are able to conquer them because they don't have their elixir of life, Torah. Or the other way to make sure that the Jewish people don't learn Torah is you don't give them a chance to learn Torah. You enslave them. You give them hard labor, harsh decrees, labor camps, concentration camps. Like that, the Jewish person won't have the ability and the time to learn Torah, and like that we'll be able to conquer the Jewish people. And he explains that that is what the Romans were trying to do. The Romans were looking how to bury Moshe Rabbeinu, how to stop the Jew from learning Torah. First, they tried going on top, meaning giving the Jewish people right, but they realized that they are still learning Torah, that they are not assimilating, that the learning of Torah is still going strong. Then it seemed to them that the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu is down, meaning that maybe a better option to cause the Jewish people not to learn Torah is to put them down, to put them in concentration camps and work them hard. Don't give them rights. Then they decided to look for burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu down, meaning they actually put them in concentration camps, enslaved them, caused them hardship, but yet that still didn't work because the more they would afflict them, the more they would learn Torah. Then it would seem for the Romans that the burial ground of Moshe Rabbeinu is up, that the way to prevent the Jew from learning Torah is to give them rights, emancipate them. Then the Romans decided maybe some people need to be emancipated and some people need to be enslaved. And they decided that they are going to send some on top and some on the bottom. But that didn't work either, because each group that they tried to cause them to stop learning Torah, they ended up learning more Torah than the one on top thought it's better in the bottom, and the one on the bottom thought it would be better on top, meaning that each group thought that if you do it the different way, then you would be able to stop the Jew from learning Torah. But in both cases, they learned Torah. And the Gemara ends that this is what is meant, lo yada ish eskevorosoy, that nobody is going to know how to bury Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody is going to figure out how to destroy the Jew. Sefer Pardas Yosef explains that this same idea is the idea alluded to in our Pasuk. When the Pasuk says that a new king arose that didn't know Yosef, it is really the same old king. And Paroi knew that the decree is that the Jewish people have to be in Egypt for 400 years. Paro thought that there is two ways I could accomplish the destruction of the Jewish people. I could either emancipate them, like the Romans thought, like that they'll assimilate, and like that they'll be automatically destroyed, or I could enslave them, like that they'll be destroyed. We also know from Parshas Vayigash that Yaakov sent Yehuda in front of him. Rashi says that he sent them in order to set up Beis Medrash to learn Torah. So Paro first thought that the only way I could stop the Jewish people is if I emancipate them, I make Yosef a viceroy, I give the Jewish people rights to go all over my kingdom, they could do anything as they please. Like that, I'll encourage the Jewish people to assimilate. Once they assimilate, I'll be able to destroy them. Therefore, originally, Paro gave them all the rights. But now, Paro realized that Asher lo yada es Yosef, that he really hasn't figured out how to destroy Yosef, that the plan that he tried to do with Yosef to emancipate him didn't work. How do you know that it didn't work? Because the next statement that Paro says, Hine am bnei Yisrael rav v'atzum imenu, the Jewish people became multiplied and stronger in Torah learning because of us. Because we gave them all these rights, they ended up learning more Torah. Therefore, Havon is Chakmaloi, let's figure out how we could destroy the Jew, and maybe by enslaving them, we'll be able to destroy them. Therefore, Paroi decides to enslave the Jews, meaning that the same idea that the Romans had, Paroi is trying to do. First, he emancipated the Jews, and he saw that that didn't work. He tried to enslave the Jews, and that does not work either, and Paroi is not able to destroy the Jewish people. And Hashem Yisburach should help that nowadays that we are emancipated, we should be careful not to assimilate. We should use this chance to increase our Torah learning. And if we do that, we'll merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.